Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. I am very excited for you to listen to this episode. I just got off the phone with Inner Circle member Rick, and this episode, as in the title, is how to detox the right way. But it's not the detox we all hear about, juices or cleanses or any of that nonsense. This how to detox the right way is more of a mental detox, because we have so much self-hate, we have so much negative self-talk, we often don't believe we're able to succeed or to accomplish our goals. And Rick, for his whole life, and you'll hear about it in his story, how he was never able to stick to a diet consistently. He was never able to stick to what he wanted to do consistently enough to see his goals, to reach his goals. And we break down exactly how that changed, what he did, and how now he's on the other side of it. And no matter what happens, he's able to look at himself in a positive light, even on the rough days, and continue and keep going, even and especially when motivation is not there.
Hey,
Rick.
Hey, there you are.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for getting on such short notice. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
How you doing, man? How's your weekend?
Weekend was grand. Kind of chilly weather here in Houston, so it's. I say that. It's not chilly compared to you guys, but yeah, it was a good weekend. It was beautiful weather, kind of.
What cool. What's chilly for Houston?
Well, okay, so chilly is like 50s, 45, 50. That's chilly. Cold is 32, and then we kind of die under 30. Under 30, people are like, you know, they're done.
I respect that. It's literally 6 degrees here in New York. 6. So
06, like literally nothing before the 6.
06, and I didn't think it was going to be that low. It's fucking 06 degrees. It's fucking ridiculous.
That's ridiculous, man.
But it is what it is. Man, dude, thank you for getting on the phone with me. I appreciate it. Your progress has been nothing short of tremendous, to say the least. And you know, it's funny because I remember the first time talking with you, and I put those air quotes. Talking because I didn't actually speak with you that first time, right? It was Natalia on the phone. And it's very cool for me to see how far you've come since then. And basically what I would love is sort of for you to just take the reins and talk and just discuss like where you've been in your fitness, in fitness, in terms of like where you've been, what you've gone through, what you're going through now, like your struggles, your wins. And then so in terms of basically everything that's happened up to this point, and then what you would like to do in the future. And then we can talk about all of it, because I think number one, the success you've had is going to help a lot of people hearing your story and hearing about like what you struggled with, how you overcame it, all that. And then also then helping you figure out what the next step is. And a lot of that actually going off of what happened in the Inner Circle Live the other day, how you're talking, you're a little bit frustrated. I think that'd be a cool sort of starting point near the end of hearing how things are going, so we can then kick off from there and see how you can progress moving forward.
Right, right. Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, yeah, I'll dive in then. And first of all, I do sincerely appreciate this chance too to chat with you and to talk and to kind of share a little bit about just my small part of this. So thank you for that very much. You know, so I've worked out all my life. I can't say I've been an athlete all my life. It didn't really kick in until I was probably 30. I think on my 30th birthday, I went out and I ran a mile, I think.
Okay.
And that was the first time I did anything. And I had a couple of friends that were encouraging me together. We all just started running and after that, I started training, kind of got addicted to running, ran quite a bit, trained for marathons. I only ended up doing one full marathon, but did a lot of smaller events. So I built this base of, quote unquote, being an athlete. You know, I trained a lot. I would train 4 or 5 days a week. I would run, and I built this base. You know, I never paid attention to nutrition. The running circle, at least for me, the running world, and then I subsequently moved into the doing triathlons, swim, bike, run events. That world, there's some really amazing, I mean, a phenomenal athletes in that whole world, right? I was never one of them. I was about 200 and I always floated around 230 pounds, 235, 240 pounds.
Even when you were in a marathon?
Absolutely. I ran the marathon, Houston Marathon, at 232.
Damn.
I ended up finishing in like 4 hours and 30 minutes, which I just have a high level of pain tolerance. And that's not a joke. I mean, it was painful from, I didn't even train for it. I ran a lot, but I never really truly trained.
Oh my, yeah.
I remember mile 11. Mile 11 is when my legs gave out. And I basically, for mile 11 to 26.2, it was just me hobbling, shuffling, and just, I stopped at mile 20 and had a beer.
Shut the fuck
and
up.
Then, yeah, I did. Just guzzled a beer because someone handed me a cold Budweiser and tasted so good.
Someone handed you a beer? That's a friend right there.
It is. So that was that, you know, honestly, to make it short, that's kind of symbolic of what I did, right? I would just muscle my way through stuff. I would actually get on the podium at a few of the smaller triathlons, shorter distance triathlons, as a Clydesdale. So we were called Clydesdales. If you were over 220 pounds, you raced as a Clydesdale division, right? Because we couldn't compete against the people that were
right, smaller. Right.
But I would podium quite often, actually. And because I just, you know, I had big legs, I could push hard on the bike. I could push through. Right. And so I got through, I guess. And I made myself do it, and it was fun. I enjoyed it. Somehow I avoided major injuries.
That's lucky as shit, you know, man. Wow.
Yeah. No kidding. I mean, and again, I would train. I would go through seasons where, like, I would train for 2 months, just real consistent, and then I would just fall off and just not train much, and then go do a race, and then back and forth, back, just real inconsistent with everything. But at one point, so I did, I raced Ironman Texas, which is the full distance triathlon. I'd actually gotten down to like 225, and that was with, you know, 10 to 15 hours of training every week. For a little bit. I can't say I did that for a year, but for a while. So I trained really hard, you know, 5-hour bike rides every Saturday, just balls to the wall on the weekends, that kind of thing. But then the community itself, you know, there's this, back to what I was first going to say, there's this elite athlete, right? The really good athletes. And then there's guys like me. And guys like me, we celebrated everything we did by indulgence, right? Like, so we would go out and drink after we trained. Big
okay,
or like order 2 large pizzas and just pound beers all night long, you know. So it was this concept of you run for the beer kind of thing, and your reward at the end of a long run was going to the bar and hanging out and drinking whiskey and beer and eating. And I'm not saying everyone was like that, but that was my circle, right? So kind of the good old boy, you know, mentality of, hey, let's just get through this and then make it happen. So I don't know, man. I think throughout the end, I don't regret that. It was all a great time, and I did good. I raced, you know, I did Ironman Texas, and I don't regret any of that, but at all. But I think it developed this mentality in my mind to get by, you know, just to get by mentality. And when I got out of that, I got out of the endurance world and stopped running. It was after Ironman Texas. I sold my bike. I said, all right, I'm done for a little bit. The training was just too much. It was just too lengthy. I had kids and I wanted to spend time with family.
How many kids do you have, Rick?
I have two. I have, two boys. So it was, and I stayed in the gym. I'd go to the gym. I'd lift. I would work out. I've always, you know, from that point on, I'd always stay in the gym. I enjoyed the lifestyle. So I lifted, I had a good base of, you know, a muscle that I built, right? And I would lift, but I just never focused on nutrition, ever. I was death.
Hey, Rick, you there?
Say again.
Oh, you just broke up for a second. You said you were deathly what?
I was deathly afraid of not eating. I had developed this mentality that, you know, right or wrong, the endurance depended on my nutrition. And if you didn't put I would take, you know, there's a classic thing. You would fill a bottle with 1,000 calories of pure carbs and take it on the bike with you to, you know, for a bike ride.
Yep.
And that's what, so again, that's what's necessary in that world. Right. But for a guy like me who was, you know, nudging 240, 230, 240 with quite a bit of body fat, you know, it's just a different mentality that I had. So I carried that over even just in a normal life. And so I don't know how many times I would tell Natalia, you have to eat breakfast. If you don't eat breakfast, you're going to die. Like, I mean, you have to eat breakfast here. And, you know, my kids the same way. You have to eat a big bowl of oatmeal with a lot of fruit. And now I would, again, quote unquote, eat healthy, but you had to eat, and you had to eat plenty of food. That was my mentality I developed. So I would go to the gym, and then after the gym, you know, go out and have a burger and maybe half a dozen wings and four beers. You know, that was like a normal, that was a normal lunch for me because, hey, I worked out, right? So I got to replace those calories. So I was just, I knew better, but I was, I believe, too afraid to address that part of it because I knew it was going to be difficult for me.
That's an interesting point you bring up where you knew you were eating too much. Like you knew it logically, yeah. But maybe it was more either subconscious or just slightly like pushed away. You didn't address it and you didn't really listen to it because you knew it was going to, that's going to be a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew it would be a challenge. Now, again, you tell me, hey, you can't run 10 miles. I would go out and run 10 miles the next day. You know, so that part of it, I was not afraid of for whatever reason. You know, you put a challenge in front of me and I'll go do it. But from the nutrition, you tell me, hey, you probably shouldn't, you know, drink four beers for lunch. I would kind of probably have a little manic breakdown there because, wait, I want the beers. Like, this is what we do, you know. And so for whatever reason, mentally, yeah, I was afraid of that. And I tried more than a few times to cut back, right, and say, okay, I'm going to either A, fast to try to kind of reset myself, see how I feel, or B, cut out carbs, right? I tried that several times. And I'm telling you, man, I would make it one fucking meal. I'm not exaggerating. And, like, I'm, like, going crazy. I'm shaky. I think I have my heart's racing. I don't know what's going on. You know, like, these stupid things, right? I'm looking at it now, I'm looking back, but it's the truth. I really truly felt like, you know, something was wrong with me. Like, I need these carbs. And so I would tell Natalia, I can't do this. I can't do this fast. And she's like, it's been one meal, dude. And you know, and I'm like, I can't handle it. So I would, you know, have a whatever I wanted, and then I'd feel better. And I'd be like, okay, see, I need this. So I'll just watch what I eat. And so I'd always make excuses, right? So that's where I came from. And I know I feel like I've talked a lot just continually, but that's the story of where I came from. And what instituted the change in me is first of all, I saw Natalia's progress after her conversation with you and after she joined the inner circle. And I was never skeptical of it. Like I encouraged her. I really wanted her to do it as well. Right. I wanted to see some changes in her, and I knew she wanted to see changes. And when I saw the progress, and I'd seen her progress before, she has taken a few steps of, you know, made progress in the past, but this was different. Her mindset had changed. You know, she had this mentality. She was more positive. It just kind of affected her in a lot of different areas that were good. And I saw that, and it kind of exposed, I guess, to myself how I was in a bad way. And
interesting.
And I know it may sound, you know, it really, yeah, when I saw her change, and then it really made me look at myself and go, hang on a second, that's what I want to do. I want to be like what? That. I want to look at myself in the mirror and feel proud, you know?
That's a very, very, very interesting perspective. And I've never heard anyone say that. And this is probably one of the most interesting parts about being able, like, you're married, you live together. So you saw that change happen and you were living with it, rather than necessarily like only passively seeing somebody and they would talk about it, like you were living with it. So like, right. I know you said you wanted to look at yourself and feel proud. Like, are there any specific or other more specific or any other, like you mentioned mindset, like what about her mindset made you say, number one, like what did it see, you see in yourself that you needed to address? And like, what part of the mindset did you say, like, I want to be like that?
Well, and that's good. That's a good question, because it wasn't the physical, right? That's the physical is the fruit of what she was doing, right? I mean, she followed the plan. Physically, she changed, period, in the story. But back to what I said, when I want to look in the mirror and feel proud, it was deeper than that. Like, I saw in her So to answer the question, I saw in her a mentality change of like, I'm proud of myself. She's not perfect physically at all. Not that's established that, but it's this glow. It's this smile that she had when she would, you know, look at herself knowing what she's done and knowing the, again, seeing the fruit of what she's put in. Right. So it was a mentality change that I saw. It was a positive energy. I don't even know what that means, right? But that's all. The only word I can use is this positive energy that she created that I hadn't seen probably ever. And that's what I saw that was attractive about this. So yeah, I think that answers the question. But it was a vibe. It was a positive energy that I wanted to emulate. I wanted to feel what I felt like. Put it together. I didn't really get that point at that point. All I knew is I want to be like that. And then, so to progress, I made a few comments to her about it. And, you know, it's funny. I want to kind of tell on her. I said, you know, I never had one. Guy always been the Clydesdale, right? The big guy, the strong big guy. But and I think she was probably fed up with me complaining and not doing something. But she said, you know, maybe you can't. And like she said it kind of passing, kind of like, you know, side on the side.
She said maybe you can't. But
yeah. She said that. She said maybe you just, can't. Yeah, I guess so, man, because it was a very passing comment, so I didn't even say anything, but it like fucking stuck in my head. It stuck, and I was like, maybe I can't. And then, like, I think it was like 2 weeks later is when I emailed you. I was like, man, I'm done with this. You know, I was feeling miserable, and I had developed this whole, like, need of affirmation from people, and you know, was really dealing with rejection. You know, we all get rejected in so many areas of life. And I wasn't dealing with that in a great way. And it is all, which is kind of out of control, man. I had no control in my life. And it was very difficult for me to handle this, the real world at this point. And so that's when I emailed you and I said, you know, I'm fed up. I need some change. I need some help. So that's what started it, man. And it was physical, definitely. It was a need for physical change or a desire for physical change for sure. Do I want to have a six? Yeah, I want to have six pack abs, right? I want to be able to, I think I put in the email, I want to be able to wear a gold speedo. and look decent in it, right? But, so yes, it started with a physical need, but it's, man, I can't even describe like how much deeper it got. You know, realizing the change that's happened in my mind, and that part of it gets me emotional. Like the physical part, like, man, it's been amazing. I have made progress, but from a mindset, just the belief that I have now in myself and the knowledge that I can do anything I really, really set my mind to. And those are so overused expressions. You know, I know everyone uses them and it's been thrown around, but it's the truth. Like knowing when I wake up every day, I can do this and I can do that, you know, and lay out the day. It's a huge change. And I don't care anymore what people think about me. I don't care. I don't care if I'm bigger in their eyes or small. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. If they say no to me, that's fine. It's this change that's happened that's been life-changing.
That's fucking incredible.
Right?
That's incredible, man. That's like, that's, there's no words to express like how amazing that is. Like what if anything that you can pinpoint sparked that? Like what happened in which like this change started to happen in which like, number one, you like after so long of struggling, of going back and forth, trying these different things, going no, like trying to go low, no carb, doing all this stuff. What happened that you got to a point where you were like, I can do this. Like this is something that is not only like, this isn't just for other people. Like I can do this too. And I am 100% confident.
Glad you asked. I know the answer. No, it's very, it's simple. It started with, and again, I don't know how it happened, right? But I emailed you it took another couple of weeks before I actually joined the group and got the programs. And man, I read, you know, you don't push, you know, one thing or another. Like, you, in other words, you don't say intermittent fasting is the only way to go, you know, which is what I love about your message, right? But I stumbled upon or came upon your article on intermittent fasting and started researching it a bit and said, dude, I want to do that. and because it honestly scared me, right? When I read it, I mean, this is a guy, I can't go a day, one meal without carbs, right? So when I read that, hey, I could intermittent fast and I could actually not eat until 12:30 and it's not going to kill you physically, right? And I read all these facts and I go, okay, well, then I want to do that. And then, so I started there, and when I realized, and I just did it, and I just woke up the next day, said, all right, I'm not eating until 12:30. And when I do eat, I'm going to eat. And at the time, the calorie count for myself, it was this low calorie count, but it was, you know, I'm going to eat 1600 calories. I had this planned out according to the math and all that. And I just did it. I mean, from that day on, from November the 5th, I did it. I did not deviate from it. And just the first getting through that first week, I'm not even going to say I felt like shit, because I know I was definitely hungry, man. I was hungry as hell, right? But it was so empowering to me to realize, A, I didn't have to eat the moment that my stomach started grumbling or my mind started telling me that, hey, why don't you have a burger? I didn't have to do it. That, I cannot tell you how empowering that was, dude. Like, to know that I did not have to go eat. Like, it's such a simple concept, but I, you know, grown and like developed this concept that you had to obey every single cue that your body gave you, right? And that you had to obey it, and then it became this negative thing. So when I realized this, I got through the first week and I did it. Dude, I did it without fail. I nailed my calorie count. I ate exactly when I was really, really strict, like 12:31, right? Like, that's when I could eat. And then after 9:30 at night, I did not touch a drop of anything, just water. So anyway, when I did that, man, that began this change in my mindset and this empowering feeling of, you can do anything, Rick. You can do anything. Because I think looking back on it, that was my biggest fear, you know, is actually trying to make change in my nutrition.
Man, that's incredible. And the way you broke it down was, number one, incredibly articulate. And it's in line with so much of the research around self-efficacy, around confidence, around why people will or will not succeed with something. And so just for example, in terms of like, the idea around feeling like you needed to eat, even if you weren't hungry, like you had to eat that way. Or like, we'll use the example of like trying to go low carb or no carb, where it's like you go one meal and all of a sudden you're like, fuck, like this sucks. It's like it's this immediate almost doom and dread. Like, I'm not going to be able to do this, which then sets you up for failure. But you think you're going to fail because the rule guidelines up to that point said this is what you have to do. Whereas now you did something, and not only was it more feasible for you, and like it allowed you to listen to your body, but you actually did it, and did it for a week straight, and it was like 100% on point. And then when you're consistent, oh my God, like I can actually do this, and that fuels more consistency, that fuels more motivation, that fuels your desire to keep on going. It's extraordinary to hear that, and it's great that you know intermittent fasting is not, you don't have to do it, it's not inherently better, but if it works for you and it makes your life easier, then fuck yeah, go with it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the beauty of, again, of your program and what I've seen and what I've studied on this, and that's the beauty of it, is that it, I don't know, man, it's freeing, you know, to know that it's not the only way. But I did feel that after that first week, I felt so much better. I had mental clarity. I was sleeping better. No more stomach problems, no more indigestion, you know, all of these things that I checked off. And I decided at that moment, after the first week, I said, dude, even if I don't lose a pound, like this, I feel so much better. I'm just doing this, and I'm doing this, you know, for as far as I can. But thankfully, you know, I saw such great results from the actual, you know, from the actual program and weight loss as well. But yeah, it was that alone, I'll be honest. Again, it's simple. It's a simple message. It's not complicated, but that alone, that control, being able to control my body and control my desires to what I want to do, that is empowering. And I played with dude on Saturdays, every Saturday for the last, I don't know, the last 4 or 5 Saturdays now, 20 hours of fasting, just because I choose to. I woke up and I thought, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I like it. Feels good. So I had one big meal at the end of.
I love that, man.
Fun, by the way. But it's just because it's not because it's better. It's not, you know, it's just something I've chosen to do. I feel really good on it. It makes me feel better, and it helps me to control and to actually, well, it does. It helps me control my calorie count on a weekend. So.
Man, I love that. I love that clearly, just hearing it in your voice. Like I'm getting like emotional, getting all the feels from just your voice, from the tone in your voice, how clearly this is, you've changed your life from a mental and emotional perspective. And yes, there's been physical changes, which I would love to hear about, but the mental stuff is what drives long-term progress, long-term consistency, long-term happiness. And you know that, and you've internalized it, and it's amazing to hear it.
Yeah, and I'm glad you can hear it, because I feel it, and I want to tell other people about it as well. The other thing is, I want, if I can, there else can do this.
Let me ask you this, because this is really interesting, and we've all been there in some way, shape, or form. And you said, if I could do it, then anyone can. And you know that there are going to be people who are like, well, he doesn't get it.
Right.
Like he doesn't get it. Like, if there are people out there listening who are saying like, he doesn't get it, or I still don't know if I can do it, or I really, you know, I don't know if I believe in myself enough to be able to do that, or I don't know if this is for me. What would you tell that person? Like, what would you tell them to make them really believe in themselves, like, so that they would know that they actually can do it?
I would say, first, just to who I was, right? Completely addicted to eating. Completely.
Hey, Rick, you there? Hey, Rick, are you there? Rick, yeah. I'm not sure if you hit mute.
No, I didn't. I didn't hit mute. I had another call. Sorry about that.
There you go.
I don't know. I don't know if you heard any of that or not.
No. I heard you're saying like addicted to eating, and then it cut out.
Okay. Completely. And I mean this, man, this was an addiction. I can't stress this enough. This wasn't like, oh, I like people to talk. No, I was completely addicted to what people think of me, right? I was completely addicted to need of affirmation of people. I went through addiction in life, addicted to eating, addicted to that. I was addicted to obeying every whim and every desire that I had. Like, oh, hey, I want a burger. I'm going to get a burger. Oh, I want this. I'm going to get that. That was addiction, man. It looks different than someone else. We all looked physically, but mentally and who I was and emotionally and just what it was, I didn't agree. Whiskey every day or a couple of days if I could. I mean, drinking way too much, right? Just because it was just helped me to feel better about me. But that was who I was. And so what I would tell someone is, man, there's no magic. There's no magic phrase to say. There's no magic thing to research or person, right? You're not a magic person. My wife isn't. Nobody is. You just have to take the first step and do it. And that sounds, I hate it when it's not some huge, you know, epiphany thing, right? Not a scroll coming down from heaven with this writing on it. You just have to stop. This is what I did. Okay. I stopped thinking about it. first day. Just do it the first. Argue with myself. Boom, piece of paper, and did.
I love that.
Now that I'm talking, right, now that I'm saying this, I think it was my problem is, again, I would think way too much. I know everything, dude. I know everything, by the way. I don't know if you knew that or not. I know everything. I've studied everything. I know everything. I researched everything. And that was the problem. That was the problem is that I was just way, way, way too full of myself. And so I would just tell someone, just take that first step. Just do it. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. Just do it. And it's, you talk about stepping off, man. You're, it's like you're stepping off onto, you know, onto a cliff or those sand dunes that people, I just saw a video of a guy like surfing down a sand dune, right? And it's like you're up there, but when you take that first step over, it's just whoosh, that momentum builds. And there's no looking back then. At that, 15 pounds lighter than 15 pounds lighter than 11 weeks ago.
You're down 15 pounds already?
15 pounds.
That's fucking and awesome.
That's momentum, crazy. Right? That's like, it just, I just, I'm not looking back. And it truly, truly, you said something on the live call the other day, and it really, really helped me out. Number one, my math was off. Number two, I was just from really going heavy that week. So I've taken a few days off and I've relaxed. I've done some, you know, some lightweight. So I feel a lot better, by the way. But,
good.
You said something, you know, if you didn't lose a pound from now until through the rest of the year, think about that. You know, think about you're that much lighter. You have lost that much weight and you're so much better off than you were in 2018. And that's such a great statement. And I really, truly internalized that. And I really, I'll be honest, I feel that way now. I got it. I get it. Dude, if I just for some reason maintained at this level, dude, my mental health, my so much better. And physically I'm down like 2 pant size. I mean, physically, man, I feel great. Now I've got other goals.
Fucking
I've
awesome,
got other
man.
Goals to hit, of course, but yeah, it's just, it's learning how to kind of take the journey as it comes. Right. So take that first step. Yeah. I would just tell them, don't even think anymore. Don't talk to anyone else. Don't just do it.
I think that's probably some of the best advice anyone can get, because as you know, there's so much information. There's so right. much information. There's an overload of information. You go on Instagram, you go on Google, you go on Facebook, you go anywhere. There's always more information, more of this, the best way to do that, the best workout, the best nutrition. And people are always looking for the best, the best, the best. And in the search of the best, they're confusing themselves.
Right.
And like, well, I read this is the best. And then I read this is this, like keto and then intermittent fasting and then like vegan. And then, and like, there's always like the best, the best, the best. And that leads to number one, either not taking action at all, and or they don't do something consistently enough because they end up switching before they can actually see any noticeable progress. And I think one of the best parts about hearing this from you is, yeah, you've lost 15 pounds in 11 weeks. And clearly you've dropped 2 pant sizes. Like clearly your physical progress is amazing, but you're really emphasizing the mental and emotional progress, which a lot of people, they take for granted. They don't realize it. It's something they literally don't even realize or consciously focus on. And the fact that you've been able to do one thing and stick with it, and this has helped you that much. I think your advice to just like, stop thinking, stop taking in more information, like literally like unfollow any fitness stuff, just do one thing, like one program, whatever it is, just do it. Whether it's Weight Watchers, whatever it is, do that one thing for a little bit and then focus on that. And if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, then you can try something else. But your advice to stop thinking and just do, well, easier said than done, is so important for people to hear, because most of them are just thinking, looking for the next, and not actually just sitting into it and driving through.
Right.
So that's awesome. And yeah, I'm glad you brought up the live, because it's, I think what happened is very important for people to hear. And like right now hearing this, like you're down 15 pounds. You've dropped 2 pant sizes. Like you've made such amazing changes. But the other day when we were on the Inner Circle Live, you were frustrated, right? Yeah. You were frustrated. You weren't feeling very good. You were like, you know, I haven't dropped a pound in 2 weeks. Like, I'm getting super, super frustrated. What's going on? And what's important for a lot of people to realize that I think where most people go wrong is they'll do something consistently as long as they feel good. And once they don't feel good, they stop. They drop off. Once they have a bad day or a bad couple days or a bad week, all of a sudden it's over and they're done and they quit. And it's important for people to know you will have bad days and you will have bad weeks and you will have bad months and motivation will go away and you will like see the scale go up or not drop and your strength won't always go up. And for people to realize that you've had all this amazing progress over the last 11 weeks, but just because you had amazing progress doesn't mean it was void of its own struggles. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a very good point. It sucked at times, right? It did. Last week it was harsh, man. It was harsh. I think there's a lot of things in play there. I don't know, but the point is that it was just a bad week. It was just I wanted to eat. I was tired of counting. I just want to not think, right? I just want to eat and not care about it. My body was really poor. And my mentality is not to rest. It's like, okay, maybe one day, but then Monday, let's hit it hard again, right? Because I've got some weight goals and some like lifting goals I want to hit. But so yeah, it sucked, man. It sucked. I quit for sure. But I think there's another different thing there too, is that people want to change it. So I didn't want to quit, right? I knew I didn't want to quit, but I was like, okay, maybe I need to change things. Maybe I need to do something different now. And that's a dangerous thing as well, because what I'm doing is working. It's working, you know? And it's
exactly right.
I feel great, but there's no need to change. And I was already like, okay, well, maybe I need to do this instead, or maybe I should start eating breakfast here, or maybe, and that's not the truth, man. So I took a few days off. And when I say off, I mean, I still intermittent fast. I still, you know, looked at my calories. I really took off from the gym, took some bubble baths. Everyone laughs at me. Hey, I love a bubble bath. You know, just relaxed a little bit, really kind of cleared my mind. And then I'm just this week for me personally, I'm not going heavy in the gym. I'm going to keep it lighter. It's my fourth week out, or, you know, I've got a couple weeks left and I'm going to go a little easier in the gym, do some stretching, just try to take care of my body and make sure that I'm recovering. And
man, that is that speech, that pattern of talk is that of a more advanced individual with their fitness. Like, it is very powerful to hear you say that, because most people, especially when they're just getting started, they feel like if they don't go crazy in the gym, they don't give it their all, if they take an off day, if they're not sweating or panting, if they're not lifting as heavy as they can or going as hard as they can, then it's a waste. Then they're losing progress. They're going backwards. So to hear you say, hey, like, number one, I took several days off, did nothing, just like made sure my calories were in check. And then this week I'm going light, because you know that this week isn't the end all be all week. This week isn't the make or break week. This week isn't going to make your progress or lose your progress. This week is just another in the rest of your life. And you know that if you take it easier this week, you give yourself, your mind, and your body a rest, then after that, you'll be able to come back and go hard and be consistent long term. Whereas if you tried to go harder and go harder, maybe you could get through this week, but it also might burn you out and might like end up stopping going to the gym, being consistent. So for you to know that and have that foresight is something that not many people have. Anyone and everyone can develop it, but not many people have it, because they aren't, they have this idea that there's this end date, this finish line, like I have to rush to get to these results. So I got to go hard every single day. So for you to be like, hey, listen, like, I'm going to take it easier this week, let my mind and my body relax. Even if I want to go hard, I'm going to make sure I stay light, just get in there, keep the consistency. That is tremendous, tremendous foresight. And the mental strength component that comes with that is it cannot be understated, man. I'm very impressed.
Well, I appreciate that. It's something that, again, probably comes a little bit from the endurance training. aspect of having gone through some, you know, minor injuries there, but also, but really it comes from what I hear you preach. And I just be honest and say it. And there's a lot of people out there that say this stuff, but man, you say it, and it really hit home that what you just said was key, that this week is not make it or break it. And for some reason, that's how I live, right? And maybe that's how everyone is, but I wake up and it's like, okay, this week, all right, this is the week, right? Like I'm going to, and I don't know what that means. Like, what do you mean? Hang on. What is this week? This is part of the journey, right? This is part of the journey. And that's why I did it so many times. Well, that's why I went out and ran the Houston Marathon without training, right? That's like, okay, this is it. I got it.
Exactly.
And it's, again, I'm very lucky I didn't lay myself out for a whole year doing that. But, and I still have that mentality, man. I'll go in the gym with one thing in mind. And that's the one thing I do struggle with, I'll be honest, is that I have your program in front of me. I'm like, all right, it's what I'm doing. And I'll go in the gym and I'll feel extra like spiffy that day, right? And I'll put on 3 more plates, or I'll you know what? Let me try my deadlift max today. And like, what the hell am I doing? Hang on a second. Not the right way to do it. So that I struggle with that. And there's many days that I've added on, you know, at the end of it, okay, now I'm gonna try. It's like, this is ridiculous. Don't add on anything, just stick with the program, dude. So yeah, mentally it's difficult, but so today today I'm on the bike, right? Not the elliptical, but the recumbent bicycle, whatever I'm on, right? And I'm going, okay, I'm gonna keep it easy, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna warm up and do some calf raises, just, you know, stretch. And it felt like I wasn't doing anything, but yeah, you're right. Mentally, I'm forcing myself. This is what I'm doing this week. I'm going to move. And so that's out there, is that, you know, having an easy week, right? Taking a week off, for me personally, I used to try that in the past, way back in the past, but then that week would be like shot. I mean, again, we're talking, you know, 2 dozen fried chicken wings, and you know, all that, that's like my week off, right? Well, it's, for me at least, it's important for me to realize, okay, I'm going to go easy this week, but I'm still keep my calories in check, right? I'm still going to follow the plan, follow the routine, follow what I know what works for me. And I'm still going to go to the gym. That's the other thing. I'm not going to just not go, like never miss a Monday, right? You know, that's at least for me, that's very important. I'm going to go, but I'm just going to do something that I'm going to swallow my pride. And I know all the dudes are over there and they're all lifting, and I know these people are watching, whatever. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to do what I do, right? And if that means I bench, you know, half the weight I usually bench, then that's what I'm doing. And
I love
so
that.
Mentally, it's difficult, but it's important.
And it's, that's a huge win. And I'm glad you brought, because I didn't even think about that, that you're in the gym and it's like, other people are doing stuff, and in your mind, you might think that people are like, oh, wow, like, he's not even doing anything, or he's not so strong, he's not even lifting that much. And, like, you're not there to impress anybody.
Right.
You're not there right. to lift weight for anybody else. You're not there to work hard so other people can look and be like, wow, they're working hard, or wow, he's so strong. Or any, like, you're there for you.
Right.
And if that means you go in and you have a fucking awesome day and you crush it and you hit personal records – great. If that means all you do is you go in and you do a warm-up and you leave just because you want to stay consistent, keep the motivation going, amazing. You're there for you. You're not there for the personal trainers. You're not there for the other fucking people in the gym. You're there for you. And whatever it means for you on that day, that's what it means. And listen to your body. And that's why, man, I'm so impressed. Like, that's why you're going to be so consistent over such a long period of time, because you don't give a fuck what other people think, and you're doing what you need to do for you. And that's the key to long-term success, is in not burning out. Most people burn out because they're so concerned about what other people think, and they're so concerned about making sure that this workout is the best workout ever, and it has to be crazy, it has to be hard, and it has to be a personal record, that they put so much mental and emotional stress on themselves that they can't fucking sustain it. And if they could just do it and say, hey, today I'm going to go in, feel good about myself, like if it ends up being like a really hard workout, really intense, I lift a lot, great. If it ends up just being a go in, just keep the habit of going, then that's fine too. If people could do that, man, it would be a much more sustainable, easier, maintainable, enjoyable process.
That's right, man. And that's the thing I'll say, is that it doesn't go away for anyone. It doesn't matter what you look like or there's always this propensity, right, to care. There's always, I mean, we're So propensity, whatever everyone thinks. So you may see someone in the gym. It doesn't matter what they're still thinking the same thing. Now, again, hopefully like myself and like you, we can say, hey, you know, fuck what everyone else thinks. We don't care. But really deep down inside, there's this movement towards that. So if we allow ourselves to, slip, we will start caring again about what people see when they look at us or what people think when I'm lifting half the weight that I that they are. But so it takes an active, all of this is kind of, I don't know, man, it takes active, right? It takes being active on it, and it takes actually being mindful of it. You can't let that slip. You can't slip back into the old habits. So I would say that. I would say every single person in the gym feels the same way. They care at the end of the day, in the back of their mind. But we've got to push past that and just be there for yourself and develop that mentality of, yeah, I don't care.
You know, Rick, how tall are you?
I am 6 foot.
So you're 6 foot. You're what? How much do you weigh right now?
I'm 227.
227. Do you have a beard?
I do.
You got a big grizzly beard, right?
Well, it was. It was like 16 feet long, but now I trimmed it down a bit.
Got it. I love this, and I love how open and honest you're being right now, because a lot of people would go into a gym and see fucking Rick, 6 foot, 227, grizzly beard, fucking
tatted up,
big ass dude, and be like, that guy like is judging me. That guy is like looking at what I'm doing and like thinks I'm weak, or that guy is this. And meanwhile, here you are being like, I'm worried about what other people think. Like, I've been through that, and I have to consciously every day remind myself that no one gives a fuck. And to hear, like, I guarantee you there are going to be people who hear this who are the complete opposite end of the spectrum. Like, I don't know, a really small woman who might be intimidated to go into the weight section because there are so many big dudes there, right? That's such a common worry from a lot of women. Like, well, it's so intimidating with a lot of men in there. And for them to hear that, like, hey, the big scary men are worried about the exact same shit as you are.
Oh my God,
is
dude.
Very important.
That is so true. I mean, now you said that, dude, you hit a nerve, because I see it, dude. I'm the one going in the locker room, right? And you see the guys, every single one of us cares. I mean, they're standing in front of the mirror. They're making sure their shirt looks okay. They're looking at themselves. I mean, dude, and some of these guys are bigger than me. You're right. You're 100% right. Like, and I've never really heard it put that way, but I've never thought of myself in that terms, right? Like, I see myself in a different light. But yeah, I'm covered in tats, you know, I'm a bigger dude, I look over and I do have to fight the same battle that I think most people are fighting mentally. I do. And I don't think,
man,
I'm not the exception.
I love that.
I'm not the exception. Every one of us does.
It's so easy. And every couple of months, I'll repost that Instagram post where I say, like, are you intimidated in the gym? And I had the, like, five steps, like, number one, no one gives a fuck. Number two, everyone's feeling the same way. And there's always a handful of people who are, like, who are along the lines of, well, you know, they're like, usually and rightfully, like, they've been through, they had bad experiences in the gym or whatever. Like, well, yeah, but, like, a lot of the big guys are, like, super intimidating. And I think, honestly, man, I'm so glad that you're being generous enough to get on the phone with me and talk about this, because I think that people are really going to be like, wow, I've heard Jordan talk about that, but Jordan's a fucking 5'4" bald Jewish guy. Like, what does he know about, like, these huge, huge guys, you know? And to actually hear it from you. And then also, I meant to say it when you said it, it was so funny. Like, you have this, like, deep voice. And it's like, you're like, and I, you know, I love a bubble bath too. It's like, it's fucking, right. I love it. It's great. Like, I think you're really giving people a perspective that is not available to a lot of people. Like, you know, a lot of people are like, well, how am I going to relate to a 6 foot tall, 227 pound bearded guy with tattoos? Like, how am I going to relate to that? And it's like, you can relate because you're having the exact same fears, the exact same emotions, the exact same worries. And people don't realize it, but we're all human.
Yeah.
We all have the exact same fears and worries and emotions and highs and lows and ups and downs. And we all have the same stuff. And I think especially nowadays in today's culture, there's a lot of divide. There's a lot of, like, well, you know, like, I'm this and then you're that. And, like, and you belong over here and I belong over here. And we divide stuff by so many arbitrary beliefs. we look at the things that make us different, the small 0.001% of things that make us different, and neglect the 99.99999% of things that make us the same. And we're all so similar in so many ways that the more we can focus on that, I think the more confident people will be in their ability to succeed, because rather than being like, well, I'm different than that person, or I'm different than that person, or I'm different than that person because I can't do what they did, they'll be like, you know what? Like, I'm almost exactly the same, you know, like I'm a short, bald Jewish guy. And like, I'm like almost exactly the same as like, as you in some sense, or I'm exactly the same as like, whatever, like we're all so similar in so many different, in so many ways that in and of itself can give people confidence to succeed. And, man, I'm so amped up about this, having this conversation, because I think that this is going to motivate and encourage a lot of people who might otherwise have never believed something like this was ever happening. You know, it's like now when people walk into the gym, rather than necessarily, maybe they're thinking, instead of thinking like, hey, I'm so nervous about what people are thinking about me, maybe they'll think about, well, what am I doing that might be making someone else nervous? And what can I say to someone else to make them feel more confident and comfortable in the gym? Like, what can I do to help that person? Rather than being like, oh my God, what do they think of me? Maybe like, how can I encourage somebody else that they're doing great and feel good about them, which in turn will make you feel even better about yourself. And it's just like all positive actions, all positive. It's all good on the back end.
That's huge, man. That is huge. Cause we are identical when it comes to that. I believe all of us, every single one of us are identical, no matter what we look like. I was doing shoulder press. I was doing some workout the other day, and my wrist was really hurting bad. You know, I made a comment about that on one of the lives, which is a lot better now. But at the time, it was hurting, so I couldn't do the fully finish the exercise. Right, so I go sulk, man. I'm like pouting in the corner. I'm great at pouting, by the way. like, I'm in the corner, like halfway working on my abs, like thinking like, okay, I'm just kind of, you know, just really in the dumps because I couldn't finish the workout for the day. And it really was kind of a chronic problem, man. And there's this guy walking towards me in the gym, and he's blind and he's got his cane, and he's like feeling his way through all the equipment, right? And he walks over and he starts working out his abs, and then I watch him, and he walks back over and he starts doing biceps, and the guy is literally can't see a thing. And here I'm sulking right in the corner because my wrist is fucking hurting. And I'm like, this dude, and I had seen him, I'd noticed him, I recognized him, but I just didn't know at the time that he was blind in the beginning. And I thought, man, this dude, I'm literally going to find him next time and talk to him and just chat with him a bit, just to say hi, you know, just to say, look, dude, you're truly, truly a badass. Because here, again, I don't know, man, it was just such a huge, you know, huge difference in what was happening with me at that moment. So we all do it. So I guess the point is insecurity. You want to talk about, you know, dealing with insecurities. It's like, man, just show up, just do it, because we're all messed up. We all have issues. We all have fears. We all cry in the shower at some point, right? Maybe I'm the only one, but you know, we're all in the same position. So yeah, you're right. I love the encouragement part. I don't do a good job at that, but there's no reason not to. There's no reason not to say hi to someone and say, hey, man, you know, looking good. Or, hey, I appreciate how you're doing that. There's no reason not to.
Yeah, man. And, you know, it's one of those things where I think a lot of people go into the gym and their initial response is they think, well, what are they thinking of me? Like, what am I doing wrong? Or, like, I look stupid. And so it's sort of like that resting bitch face, right? Where it's like you go in and without even consciously thinking about it, you are like stone cold, either not making eye contact or like making eye contact deliberately, almost like to try and intimidate someone because like, fuck off type thing. And it, for me, it's always funny when I think about it, because I go in the gym and I watch this behavior and I like to see how it plays out. And for me, I almost imagine the gym like a watering hole and a bunch of animals around the watering hole, and like a bunch of animals, like, they're drinking, they're doing their thing, and then they're like looking up, they're trying to like see what other animals are there, like, don't fucking come near me, like, don't you dare fucking look at me. And then it's like you have some people, some of the animals there are like more they're more aggressive, so like maybe they're the ones who are taking a lot of the equipment, right? They'll take a lot of equipment in their own corner, and someone is like, hey, could I work in with you? Or, hey, could I use that dumbbell? And they're like, fuck off, like, no, this is mine. It's like, hold on, like, this is everybody's watering hole, like, this isn't just your watering hole. It's like, then there are other people who are like, they're the other animals who are like more intimidated, they're scared to go because maybe like the lions and the cheetahs and the whatever, they're at the water, so like the antelope, they're too nervous to go to the water because they don't want to get eaten, right? So then they just stay in the car. They're the people who stay in the cardio equipment because they don't want to go to the actual weights.
Right.
And it's like, it's very animalistic. It's very primitive. It's very like that sort of the environment that we have. And I think the sooner people realize, listen, like we're all concerned, like we're all nervous, we're all concerned, we're all anxious. And the more we could be like, hey, come on, you drink right next to me. Like, I don't care if you're an antelope. I don't care if you're a chimpanzee. I don't care if you're a hippo. I don't care if you're a tiger. I don't care if you're a unicorn, whatever the fuck you are, you come drink here because this is everyone's fucking water. And like, and that's it. And if that manifests itself in being like, instead of like literally consciously walking through the gym and smiling at someone, or consciously walking through the gym and like you see someone like lift something impressive, or you see someone with great squat form, like, hey, that's fucking awesome squat form, man, like really good job, or whatever it is, just little things like that that could make a massive difference in the environment.
Right. And then you actually might end up learning in the process, right? Or you know, building a relationship in the process. That's the other thing. What's going to happen from that if you actually like open your mouth and say something, you know, I mean,
100%.
It could be good. It could be a good thing. So
100%, man. Well, listen, like, thank you for this. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Going forward, like, what are your goals going forward? Is there anything that I can help you with going forward? Like, what are you aiming to achieve? Like, what's your eyes set on? Is there anything you're struggling with? Like, what's next for Rick?
What's next? Honestly, you know, I'm at 227. So from a physical standpoint, right, I still have plenty of room to drop down. So the goal is that goal remains. My original goal was to hit 215. And so that's my goal from a weight perspective, is to drop the weight down to 215, burn some fat. After that point, I would like, so, okay, there's that goal. And then I definitely want to set, deadlift, double my weight.
Yes.
Deadlift, double my weight for sure. That's on the books. That's going to happen. It's just a matter of how long it's going to take me and when I do it. And then I'd love to improve my squat. Squat for me has always been somewhat, you know, weak. I don't want to call it weak, but yeah, somewhat. It's probably not my strongest lift. So I would love to improve my squat. I don't know what that number looks like. I'm willing to go as high as I can. But so improve my squat, deadlift, double my weight for sure, which would be around, you know, what would that be, like 430? If I hit 215, so, you know, right around 430.
When you hit 415, for sure, no question about it. And like, it's not an if, it's when you hit 415. And I bet, like, if you decide, hey, I want to get to 400, you get to 400. And I mean 200, not 400, sorry. Like, when you hit 215, when you hit, like, if you get to 200, if you want to decide to get to 200. But man, like, I'm stoked to hear that. I'm beyond excited right now. And I'm glad this is recorded, because I cannot wait for the day in which you post a video of yourself deadlifting 400, 430, 450, post it in your circle. And then like, oh fuck, remember that?
Yeah.
On like January 21st, 2019, we had this. Like, I'm so stoked about that. And I'm going to say something. So I know you said earlier, like, you'll go to the gym, you want to like max out, you want to like lift as heavy as possible. And I'm glad you said that, because it's one of the biggest mistakes a lot of lifters make, in which they're like, oh, I want to go and see how much I can lift, right? It's like, I just want to see how heavy I can lift, rather than like doing the maybe a little bit lower weight for, instead of doing like 3 sets of 5 or 4 sets of 4 that's in the program, they'll be like, I'm just going to lift as heavy as I can, see what I can lift today. And it's one of the biggest mistakes, because essentially it's the difference between testing versus building. And one of the best ways that I can encourage people to almost like to deter them from testing too much is, strength is not built from testing, right? Strength is not built from testing your max. Strength is built from building with a lower percentage. It's sort of the same way, like, in terms of no one aces. Like, you don't study for a test by taking the exam, right? You don't study for a test by like looking at the questions and then answering them. You study for the test by like studying all the information, right? You study all the information, you gather, or you read the books, you read the articles, whatever it is. And then by the time the test comes, you know the answers. It's the same way. So like in same for a max, you don't build your strength by testing it. You build your strength by building it. You build up the accessory muscles, you build up the lift, you take your time, lower the weight, do a little bit more repetitions, get more volume in. And I'm so adamant about deterring people from testing, because the more you test, the more time you spend trying to test your stuff, the longer it's going to take you to actually build it.
I needed to hear that, man, because I know it and I've read it, and I know I've read it even from you, but I needed to hear it from you because, yeah, that's been the hardest thing for me lately. And now that you're saying, and, you know, honestly, that was the week that I added so much on my desk, probably double that was in the program. And, yeah, I'm curious to see. You know, I'd be curious to know if that was what really contributed to kind of the feeling of burnout and the feeling of just utter exhaustion, man, just utter exhaustion. And I pushed hard, and yeah, that's interesting, man. I can tell you I won't do that again.
and actually, you know what? I bet you will make that mistake again. I would like it if you didn't, but I bet you will because okay. We all make mistakes. Yeah. We all let the ego get in the way. Maybe the next time, like you won't take it as far,
right?
Or like you'll, rather than doing it and then getting super frustrated, whatever, you'll be like, oh fuck, like yeah, that was a stupid fucking mistake. I know what I did wrong. Boom. It's like less of an emotional roller, and that's sort of the goal of all this, right? It's not to be perfect, but it's to be more consciously aware and more logical. And you make the mistake and not shame yourself, beat yourself, or think you're gonna quit or change anything. It's like you make the mistake and you're like, cool, that's awesome. Back on track. Here we go. And like, that's really the goal of this all. It's not to be perfect, it's just to be aware. And the more aware you are, that's what leads to consistency. And I'll tell you this, the squat is, it doesn't mean you're not going to get strong. You can get strong as fuck, but man, 6 feet, you got a long way to go down and a long way back up. So I haven't seen your technique, but before I even see it, I would say try experimenting with a wide-ish stance, like a wider stance. Sitting your butt back to the wall behind you, sitting back really a little bit. We call it more hip dominant. So rather than trying to sit straight down, try to sit a little bit further back, get a wider stance, wider than shoulder width. Try like 1 to 2 inches wider than shoulder width, maybe even wider. Toes turned out. It's going to make it way easier for you.
Dude, no, I can't believe you just told me that, because holy shit, I've been wanting to do it that way. Like, I thought I couldn't do it that way, but oh my God. Yeah, I've done it that way in the past, and it was just, it's such a more natural movement for me. So,
dude, yeah, man, you're amazing. 6 feet. You got femurs like long as a giraffe. So, you know, you got to like get a little bit wider, open your hips a little bit more. I would, there's no right or wrong bar position, either high or low. I would experiment with that. But first, before you change bar position, just take your feet out wider. Like, take your feet a little bit wider, sit back, really try and sit to the wall behind you. Guarantee you that's going to happen.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I'm excited. That's cool.
It's cool because in the same way that you figured out that there's no right or wrong with nutrition, it's whatever works best for you, now it's transferring over to training. There's no right or wrong. Like, some people can squat with their feet closer together. Some people can squat with their feet wider apart. Like, I'm a big believer that you're only as strong as your weakest link, right? So if your close stance squats – are a weak point, then getting stronger in your close stance squats are going to help your wide squat get stronger to a point. But I would say for every 12 weeks of training, I would say 8 to 10 of them should be stance, and then it should be a little bit closer stance. And so that it's all about specificity, right? So if you're more of a wide stance squatter, I would say 80%, 90% of the time, squat wide stance. And then maybe during a deload week, lighter week, go a little bit close stance so you can build up that weak link. And then you go back to the wide stance when you're back to the strength, to the main strength program.
Beautiful. That's awesome.
That makes sense?
Oh, 100%. That's so great.
Good, man. Dude, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much for getting on this call because I say this a lot, but like, man, this call, I'm so excited. I'm going to publish this today. I usually wait a week or two before I'm going to publish it, like within minutes of getting off, because man, I feel very blessed that I got to get on the phone with you and talk to you about this. And I'm so excited to hear what people think, because I think it's going to make a huge difference in many people's
lives. Man, that's amazing. Well, I appreciate you saying it, and sincerely appreciate you, you know, having me on here and talking a bit.
Of course, man. Oh, dude, by the way, I'm going to see you at the Inner Circle Retreat. 100%. Right?
Yep. I'm there.
Fuck yeah. Awesome. Cause I know you're in Houston. So if you weren't, I would have driven down there and fucking, I would have went rip shit. So I'm glad. I'm going to see you and call you there. Sure. Yeah. Amazing. I love you, man. I appreciate you. Tell Natalia I say hello, and I will talk to you soon. Okay.
All right, bro. Love you too, man. We'll talk to you.
Bye-bye. And that wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you found it helpful. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email me. And if you enjoyed the episode, and only if you enjoyed it, I would sincerely appreciate it if you left a rating on iTunes or SoundCloud, wherever you're listening. They really do help a lot. So I would appreciate that. If not, totally fine. Still love you and your fuzzy little unicorn butt. That's weird. Not going to do another recording. I love you. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon.